The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. It's here. It's finally here. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Happy game day. We finally get to say it. Here in the Auburn Opelika area. Happy Friday. Happy game day, everybody. Hope you are doing well. Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Jacob Goins going to be here with us in just a moment, making sure that the show right across from us over on Wings 94.3 gets going with game day on Wings. But man, how exciting is it to finally say that we are back, man. Happy Friday. It's going to be an absolutely incredible show here on this free-for-all Friday. We get to talk with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports here in just a few moments to kick off the show. We got some high school news that we get to talk about with Auburn High School and Lee Scott Academy. We dive into Auburn and Baylor because it is finally here. We get to rank some of these games, and where does the Auburn-Baylor game rack up with a couple other of these games this weekend? Are these teams really threats to make the college football playoff? How far does a win go for both of these teams, and how far down do they drop with a loss for either of these teams? We're then talking other news in the sports world, all of that in hour number one, and you know what hour number two is here on a game day eve, or a game day, usually a game day eve, but a game day on Friday. We're talking week one picks around college football. We're talking about Power Four teams that could be on upset alert, and then at 3:30, everything is Auburn and Baylor. Our final thoughts: how does Auburn win? What do they need to do to avoid losing? What could be some of those key deciding factors? And then we get to make our official predictions for Auburn and Baylor, kicking it off tonight at 7 p.m. And I get to welcome in the main man back into the studio, Mr. Jacob Goins. I said it to introduce the show. We're finally here. Happy game day,
yes,
sir.
Yes, happy game day. Yes, thank you for holding down the fort yesterday. Thank you for getting us started today. Had to take care of our boys next door, Wings 94.3.
Oh, I let them know that you had to be there.
I did. I had to babysit a little bit. But they're good. They're off and running game day on Wings 94.3. They are on the air as we speak, as are we, 2-4 next door on Wings 94.3, Uncle T-Bone and Jack Cutton. But they are good to go. We are good to go. Happy Friday, everybody. Man. Free for all Friday. Game day Friday, baby. We're pumped up. They're fired up next door as well. And my goodness, we have a great show on tap for you today.
I did. Again, we're getting Lee Sterling on the phone right now with Paramount Sports and Locked On Bets. We're going to dive into everything that he has. We're going to dive into his predictions. And he's going to tell you where you need to go if you decide to throw any Monopoly money on college football this weekend, just simply because, again, it's finally back. We're going to dive into some of the games that happened yesterday as well. As you've already seen, a top 25 team go down. The team that was the favorite in the G5 to make the college football playoff, the Boise State Broncos. Man, I'll say it. If that doesn't show you that Ashton Jeanty deserved the Heisman Trophy, I don't know what will. 34-7 on the road. You fall to USF at home, and just made the Broncos of Boise State look absolutely sorry. I know we were getting Lee Sterling on the phone lines, but I said if that doesn't show that Ashton Jeanty deserved the Heisman Trophy in my books, I don't know what
will. I'm with you, man. That was my college football playoff pick out of the G5, yeah, as it was for probably most of America from what I was able to see. And Not that that is completely dead already, but pretty close for the Broncos of Boise State. Didn't get a chance to fully watch that game, but went back and watched some of the highlights, and Jack was giving us score updates throughout our broadcast last night on Wings, and my goodness, I mean, what a disastrous start out there on the blue field of Boise State.
It was at South Florida.
Well, yeah, but
yes.
Just in general.
That game was relatively similar. Never mind.
Oh, goodness. Well, a guy that can talk about that game, but's going to talk about a lot of other games as well. He's a guy that joins us every Friday to start our show here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's with Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, and the Locked On Bets podcast. Lee Sterling, how are you, my friend? Week one of college football is finally here.
I'm good. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll actually be at the Miami Notre Dame game. I got like sweaty palms. I'm ready to go. I mean, this is like, feel like I'm back in high school playing quarterback, getting ready for it all to start. I'm that excited about this year, and you guys should feel the same way probably with the Auburn-Baylor game coming up.
Yeah, we are excited to be on the air today, and I'll be honest with you, Lee, just from my vantage point, and I think a lot of Auburn fans are in this boat as well, I'm almost tired of talking about the game. I'm ready for it to be here. I'm ready for kickoff, and let's get a result one way or the other. That way we could talk about that rather than what might happen.
I agree. So it's fun. We're finally here, and I hope our teams are improved from last year, and if they are, you guys are going to be in the mix in the SEC, and we were right on the cusp of getting in the college football playoffs. So how great would it be? How about this? We close our eyes. The quarterfinal game is here in Miami. Auburn versus Miami, and I think there's a good chance my daughter might be singing the national anthem for the game, and I think that'll be enough to get our juices flowing, right?
Lee, you tell me when and where. I'll shake your hand and I'll sign any document you need me to.
you'll ride a bike here, huh?
I would ride a bike. I would walk. I'd hold out my thumb walking down the interstate, and I'd even take a Miami 34-7 win if that were to be the case.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We got to get there.
We got to make the dance. Well, week one is finally here, and you mentioned Auburn trying to make noise in the SEC, as is a team that made the college football playoff last year. They kicked things off in Atlanta, taking on Syracuse, both of these teams trying to figure out the confidence levels in their quarterback. Tennessee right around a 2-touchdown favorite. Are you going with Josh Heupel? Are you going with Joey Aguilar? Or is Fran Brown going to make some more noise in the SEC?
Well, Fran Brown did a great job last year, but they might be totally in the rebuild. I mean, you would think, you know, year two, usually teams are building, but they lost their quarterback, three receivers who had over 900 yards in receptions, all five offensive linemen, seven of the top 10 tacklers. Now, Tennessee's offense may not be as good. You obviously use your quarterback, and you also, you know, you lose a star running back, but the defense is pretty much still there. They rank seventh nationally in points allowed, 10th against the run, 29th against the pass. So I think maybe a special teams or a defensive takeaway might set up the win in the cover here. I'm going to lay it here. I think Tennessee pulls away late, 37-14.
It would be a nice start for the SEC after Missouri had a win last night. Tennessee could do the same coming up on Saturday. We're hoping Auburn, of course, can defend the Southeastern Conference tonight as well. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com taking Tennessee to cover a 2-touchdown spread. We move right down the list here, my friend, of a game that if Ohio State, Texas didn't exist, this would be the game of the weekend. It's Clemson and LSU, a top 10 matchup in Death Valley. If it's the real one or not, we're going to find out with Clemson and LSU, top 10 game. You've got the Tigers of Clemson favored by 4, but do they cover on home turf?
You know, they should have more at stake here. I mean, they should have, like, you know, both teams with the same nickname, same name in the stadium. Make it like a WWE event. Whoever loses, they become – they're not the Tigers anymore. They're the Kitty Cats.
Oh, man.
I think this game is going to be one in the trenches. I mean, two great quarterbacks, top five maybe in the draft. And LSU lost four of the five starting linemen last year to the draft. all four defensive linemen have left. Whereas on the other side, Clemson's defensive line, I think you're going to see three players go in the first round or at the latest second round of the draft next year. So I don't know if Clemson is quite where they were like 4 or 5 years ago when they were winning titles, but I think they're pretty close. I just can't back Brian Kelly here. I mean, they've lost five straight home openers. His 2 years there, they're 4-8 against the spread on the road. Give me the Clemson Tigers 37-27 over the LSU Kitty Cats.
Wow, how about that? And I'll tell you what, Lee, my prediction for this game in particular, Clemson-LSU, is this time on Monday when we do our shows on Labor Day, which we will be on the air here on ESPN 106.7. I think we look back at Clemson-LSU and say that it was a much better game than Ohio State-Texas will be this coming Saturday. I think it's a better game, a closer game, more competitive game, LSU-Clemson compared to Ohio State-Texas.
So you think, who do you think is going to win, Ohio State or Texas?
I have picked Ohio State to win. I don't trust Arch Manning on the road, not yet.
Okay. So here's how I see this game. Texas was close last year, and they get to the one-yard line, less than 4 minutes to go. That call by Steve Sarkisian, you go to the shotgun and you run a toss sweep, I guarantee you, you will not see that play called on Saturday. I thought Ohio State was the better team, though. But this year, every year is different. They lost 7 of their 9 top tacklers, graduated, or moved on to the NFL. No Jack Sawyer to save him to the rescue. As we know, he picked up, he caused the strip sack and picked up the ball, went for a touchdown. That was game, set, match. I think the quarterback edge is huge here. Arch Manning versus Julian saying, I'm hearing a lot of poor reports that he has not looked great, as is saying in fall camp. And both coordinators are back for Texas, whereas Ohio State has two brand new coordinators. And I'm looking at every single position group, and I think that Texas is better in every position group, or maybe one is tied except for wide receiver. So I'm saying the wrong team is favored. I like Texas 24-21.
Wow, first one of the year. Wrong team favored. Lee Sterling taking Texas to go on the road and take down the Buckeyes. I love it, Lee. I absolutely love it. That's a lot of fun, and that's what college football is all about, my friend.
Yep.
Well, Lee, it is. The other team in the state where we live making the trip down to Tallahassee, Florida, in a game that could be a little bit rainy, in a game that's going to be chippy, in a game that's had a lot of verbal remarks so far, with Tommy Castellano saying, Nick Saban's not there. I don't see anybody being able to contain me. Does the quarterback, does he stand true right there, or do the Crimson Tide get it done on the road?
Well, what's crazy is, you know, they went out and they knew they needed to get a quarterback. And they picked Castellanos. I was a little surprised. I know he had a really good game against them and led Boston College to the upset win, but I still don't think he's that good. I mean, they did not score more than 23 points in any other game versus Division I opponents last year. And if they're forced to throw the ball a lot and they're down, let's say, double digits, I don't think he's the quarterback that's going to bring you back. So I think Auburn's defense is much, much better. Like the fact that Kalen DeBoer, he brought in his offensive coordinator from his Washington days, Ryan Grubb. Think that's a big plus here. And I mean, at Florida State wasn't even competitive last year. This guy's quitting. I mean, it was not a good sight here. I think they'll be better, but I think Bama, probably top three in the conference this year. I like Bama, 38-20.
Bama to cover and cover easily against Florida State. We'll get you one more game before we get your final thoughts on Auburn and Baylor. A game on Sunday afternoon as South Carolina and Virginia Tech do battle on a neutral field. South Carolina and Lenora Sellers, Lee, a lot of people liking them as a dark horse to make it to the college football playoff. Do they get off to the right start against the Hokies of Virginia Tech?
Well, that'll be our game of the week. If anyone wants to get that game for free, just call 800-400-9741, 800-400-9741 to get that game on me. I'll also give them the Miami-Notre Dame game. I'm going to give them South Carolina-Virginia Tech and Miami-Notre Dame, both games on Sunday on me, so you can try us out. We've had 30 out of 31 winning seasons lot of other free pick videos on the website, ParamountSports.com. All the specials are up and available. And also, weekdays, Monday through Friday, now you can watch me on YouTube. It's a show called Locked On Bets. It's a podcast. And on the Locked On Network, do it with a co-host. And we give out 3-4 games for free every single day. Comes out by about 10 o'clock in the morning, your time. So just go to YouTube and type in Locked On Bets and subscribe, and you'll receive notice every single day, Monday through Friday, that we release a podcast. So, you know, a lot of ways to win. So now we get on to the main course, right?
There it is. Don't break our hearts, Lee. Don't you do it now.
Lee, we talked to you last Friday, and I said I'd give you a week to completely change your mind. So tell me that you've completely flipped. You're going back to what your heart truly desires, and you're picking the Auburn Tigers.
So I went and I studied film on both teams.
Here we
and
go.
One of the things I wrote down right off the bat within like 15, 20 minutes was Baylor is not that talented. They just didn't beat anyone good last year. They beat a lot of mediocre teams. I know they have 18 starters returning, but usually when you win 8-9 games, you got 30, 35, 40 sacks. They only had 23 sacks. They gave up 35 points or more 5 straight times. Now, it's tough to evaluate Jackson Arnold because his line for Oklahoma was horrendous last year. They lost their top 5 receivers before even the first game. I think the Auburn receivers are going to have a big advantage over the Baylor defensive backs, and the Baylor pass defense ranked just 60th in the country last year. I did change my mind. We're going with the Auburn.
Yeah!
Auburn, 31-23.
31-23, Auburn to win, Auburn to cover on the road at Baylor because good teams win, but great teams what, Lee Sterling?
They cover.
Atta baby. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Also, check him out on the Locked On Bets podcast. We are very familiar with the Locked On Network, have many of their hosts on this show throughout the week and throughout the year as well. My friend, it's always great to have you on. We appreciate the time. Plug it all one more time on your way out.
Yep, like I said, Locked On Bets. Just go to YouTube or Spotify or Apple, and give us a subscribe. We appreciate it. And you'd like to hear betting info. And like I said, we're covering the SEC a lot this year. It is the conference. So check us out, Locked On Bets. And check out the website. A lot of free pick videos every single week there, a lot of information. And love to have you be a part of our service. We've had 30 out of 31 winning years, and that's documented. You can go to the website, click on recent results, see every single game I've given over the last 5 years to my clients. Just one place you want to win, ParamountSports.com.
My man, I appreciate you and your time. Enjoy week one of college football. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
You too, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. I can't believe it. There's a unicorn in the parking lot. I see him. He just ran by. I just saw it. He's got a fairy on one shoulder and a leprechaun on the other. And Santa
Aubie's,
Claus is hanging out and
running Aubie's
after
riding
him.
Him.
Yeah, Aubie. Yeah. How is he in Waco and in Auburn at the same time? That's kind of weird.
Crazy
how that works.
Enough.
Lee Sterling.
I can't
man.
Tell you. My jaw dropped, not because of what it is, not because of who we picked, but in just a little bit, we're going to give our score predictions. That was the exact same score that I had.
31-23. What's more
surprising?
The
entire week, it was 31-21, but then I was sitting there like, it's going to be some weirder score, and I'll dive into it a little bit more, but just so that way anybody's, oh, he's copying. Nope, that was...
Is it more surprising that he picked Auburn to win and cover, or the fact that he has Auburn scoring 31 points on the road in this game?
And the fact that he convinced himself 7 days later all of those things. Because at first, when we were at Winter Timber, it was, man, Jackson Arnold, I don't know if I have the confidence. I think Baylor's going to find a way to get it done. And, hey, we gave him 7 more days, and Lee Sterling comes through.
One of us, one of us, one of us. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Go check him out. And, again, on Locked On Bets as well. Search that on YouTube. Free daily picks there, and you can get a part of it. Again, if you call him or check him out online right now, he's giving you South Carolina and Virginia Tech and the Miami-Notre Dame game for free on him. So go check it out. One place, ParamountSports.com. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. It's Free for All Friday, and it's game day. We want to hear from you. Phone lines, they're wide open. Give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. We want to hear from you on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And the text box is wide open as well. We need score predictions, folks. How are you feeling on this game day for Auburn and Baylor? 334-784-1067. We're back after this on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Phone lines are wide open on this Friday afternoon. Your thoughts and picks for Auburn versus Baylor. We're just a few hours away from kickoff in Waco, Texas. And we get to the phone lines now. It's John in Auburn. You're on the line, my friend. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Give y'all something to kind of look on your phone or on your laptop, your computer this afternoon. It's like forecasted radar for Waco. Like there's some storms in the Waco area right now. Maybe some rain during the game. Haven't heard this part of this game talked about this much. What did y'all take on it? I think a rain game favors Auburn considerably. And I've got Auburn 31-17. I think it'll be a lower scoring game than what they think in Vegas. But what are y'all's thoughts on that? If it's a rain game, which side are you leaning?
All right, appreciate that, John. Always appreciate you calling in and tuning in and being a loyal listener of the program. I'm with him, Christian. I think a rain game favors Auburn massively.
Yeah, I know that there was rain a little bit this morning. Looking at the unnamed weather site right now, it doesn't say that there's anything at least overbearing in the forecast. Again, sunset right there at 7:55. It'll be hot, 92 degrees, 90 degrees right around kickoff, and then sunset will cool it off a little bit. But yes, I think that the run game, if it is wet, favors Auburn a lot more because of the dual threat quarterback mobility of Jackson Arnold. I think Sawyer Robertson can run. He is not as willing, and I don't think he's as mobile. He is going to be the guy that you'll see keep it two or three times tonight just to try and keep the defense honest. But if it's a downpour and it gets to the part where the weather truly plays a big factor, I think it puts Auburn at a big advantage.
I think Sawyer Robertson can run the ball. I think Jackson Arnold will run the ball.
And wants to.
That's the difference, I think. Absolutely. So 31-17 from John and Auburn. So confidence in him. We get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're back, my friend. You called us earlier in the week feeling pretty good about it. What's your score prediction for tonight, Auburn versus Baylor?
Well, I'm telling you now, this offensive line has got to come to life for us.
You're right.
And I'm picking Auburn to win
20-17. So a very low-scoring game, Specter.
Well, reason being is what I heard the same thing about the weather report.
Okay.
It probably might be a muddy field and all that, so.
So you think because of the weather, it might not be as much of something where it's just a defensive battle, Auburn cannot score, to where a 2017 game looks a little bit better than the scoreboard might show?
Yeah, the slippery field of that. You know, plays a lot in it.
It does.
So you know, running backs slipping, receivers not getting their cuts. So, yeah, I'm going with a 20-17.
Okay.
20-17, Auburn over Baylor. Spectre, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight, all right?
See you, guys.
Thanks so much. Spectre calling in on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Let's keep them churning through, 334-321-1390. Sam, you're on the line, my friend. What's up?
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. I'm a student at Auburn. I'm driving to Lake Martin right now to watch the game with my family. My palms are sweating just like y'all. But I was wondering what y'all think about Dave Miranda as a defensive play caller. I know that we're pretty favored in most position groups in this game. But do y'all think with Jackson Arnold's questionable confidence, mixed with Dave Miranda's, you know, ability to call fake blitzes, and you know, it just sounds like a lot of people are worried about that. What's y'all's take on that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big concern. I mean, he's a mastermind at the defensive coordinator spots. You hope from the Auburn standpoint that as good of a mind as he is, he can only do so much with the talent that's around him and with the injuries. Again, their starting safety is ruled doubtful for this game. But yes, I would imagine that a lot of disguised blitzes, a lot of late blitzes, especially with this offensive line that hasn't played a lot of games together, right? You might see a couple stunts, see the offense or the outside linebacker come through the middle a little bit late, trying to confuse this team, because I think Aranda knows if you give Jackson Arnold time in the pocket and the weather is not an issue, I think that's when he knows he's in trouble.
I got you. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much, Sam. Appreciate you listening and calling in on your way up to beautiful Lake Martin to watch the game with family and friends. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to do that. And to that caller's perspective, Sam, and to Spector's perspective as well, that's where the offensive line's got to be able to pick up late blitzes. That's where, if it is Damari Austin or Darrell Robinson or whoever the running back is, picking up late delayed blitzes off the edge, off the defensive end, like whatever the case may be, Auburn's got to find a body tonight on the offensive side of the football.
And that's what we've talked a lot about, why DA could be that main starting running back, because all 4 years he's been in the backfield, we've complimented his ability to pass block.
Yeah.
That could be a very, very big factor that goes without saying or goes underlying. But we come back here on Monday and you talk about the third down block that he picked up in the backfield that gave Jackson Arnold time. I think he is a fantastic pass blocker for Jackson Arnold.
I think that's where running the football is going to be crucial tonight, too. You can't call fancy plays on defense if you can't stop the run up the middle. And Auburn has a chance to do that tonight in Waco, Texas, or halfway through hour number one here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Give us a call. We're off and running, flying on this Friday. 334-321-1390. We're back after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a fun 30 minutes, and we got a long way to go, and we appreciate you being with us. If you want to be involved in the show, several ways you can do that. Give us a call. Phone lines were hot in the last segment, 334-321-1390. Pick up the phone and start dialing. We want to hear from you and your thoughts on Auburn and Baylor, your score predictions. Everybody so far, Christian, overconfident. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying it's bad. Just very confident in Auburn so far. Do we have anybody picking Baylor? Does anybody think that Auburn does not win this game? You're the people we want to hear from right now. 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067, which is where we go now.
And folks, have we done it to ourselves again?
I'm not going there yet. Give me another hour of phone calls and text box messages to see if that's truly where Auburn fans are.
Have we done it? Have we done it again?
Speaking of that, we did get a text in the text box. 334-784-1067 is the number to send a message there.
Is it differing?
From
Auburn fans doing it?
No. Oh, no. It's a perfect segue here. And again, not talking bad. It's just what the narrative? Is that the word I'm looking for? The trend. That's it. That's the trend so far. It says, I'm feeling it, fellas. I think Auburn's defense is going to eat tonight. Keldrick Falk is going to be a bear. I feel like we have an elite defense. I'm talking 2017-2019 level defense is what this texter says right now. And what my response will be to that is we are talking Auburn-Baylor in this segment. Going to take a little different direction. We'll make our official game picks and predictions later on in the show. I think Auburn's talent on defense, on paper, is comparable to 2017-2019. I'll say this too, Christian. I think depth-wise, there's more talent on this defense than what you saw in 2017 and 2019. The difference, especially 2019, that's the defense that really stands out for Auburn fans in recent memory, right? That's the one that was the only defense in America that could stop Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers before they went on to just dominate their way to a national title. That's a team that went to the swamp and kept your offense in it for four quarters who couldn't move the football. That's a defense who got after it against Alabama and every other team that they played. But I don't know if they had the depth that this roster has. They also had some concreted dudes on the defensive line. Still waiting to see what those guys are going to be on this year's squad. But I like where that texture's going of how the defense could play in this game. Texture, someone says Baylor wins 24-23 because it's Auburn. Hopefully I'm wrong, is what this other texture just said as well.
Why set yourself up with expectations when you can do that? And then if it happens, you just get to go to bed with the expectation already.
I mean, you know what the saying is, don't you? If you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed.
I mean, it's true.
It's depressing, but...
But no, it's you went the segue that I was expecting to go. I think this could be very comparable. I'm not going to go there quite yet because you saw how those defenses in 2017 and in 2019, especially what you were mentioning, controlled the line of scrimmage in every single game. It made it so fun to watch. I think it could get to that point, like what we're talking about. I think that it very easily could be a very dominant defense. And again, you have DJ Durkin, who you trust being back there with guys like Jamonte Waller, with Kieron Crawford, with Chris Murray, with Kayan Lee, obviously, and those DBs in there as well. Jay Crawford. We've heard a whole lot about Rayshon Pleasant and Rayon Strader. I mean, those guys are going to be incredible in the secondary, not even mentioning the captain that just got named, Champ Anthony the Pirate, who... Again, we've talked about the story that he has, the fact that he was voted by the Auburn team as a captain of this defense is really, really cool. I need to see a little bit more from the D-line other than Keldrick Falk. I think the depth could be there, and I fully expect to hear a lot of guys' name and to be dominant tonight. And again, the depth is very complimentary of one another, but you feel like those teams had more big-time names, at least in that starter role, which could be beneficial, could even be more beneficial this year that you have maybe not that one or two guys, those one or two guys that are right there, but you have five or six that could go in, rotate like you've seen and like we've heard so much about.
Which, over the longevity of a season, is healthier. It's better. That's where Auburn ran into problems.
Could be more important and more beneficial that you don't have one guy that you're relying on. You have that one middle linebacker. And if that doesn't work out, man, if they get past the second level, you're done.
Yeah, and I did say Auburn defensively got after it in the Iron Bowl 2019. Not necessarily, but they played well when they had to. Did they give up 45 points? Yeah. Somebody texted in and said, 2019 Auburn defense hasn't stopped Jalen Waddle yet. You're probably right. Waddle had 100 yards in that game. Devonta Smith had 80 yards in that game. Henry Ruggs had 99 yards in that game. And a
kick return touchdown.
Yeah. So Auburn's defense gave up 45 points
Auburn's
in that game.
Auburn's defense still played really well, just not against Jalen Waddle, who lets you know every time he walked into the end zone how many touchdowns he had. And the student section let him know that he was number one.
Yes, they
did. With the other, with the wrong finger accidentally.
Yeah, ain't no accident about it. But, yeah, so with this game tonight, and that's kind of where we're at now. Again, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Your score predictions, game predictions, who needs to play well tonight for Auburn to beat Baylor? We've got a bunch of people in the text box right now, too. Spectre texted in and said that Florida State's going to win, that Gus will prevail, the Gus bus will prevail, that Florida State's going to win. We'll talk more
about
that.
Who does Florida State play week two again? Because if they beat Alabama. Yeah,
whatever FCS team or if not even a G5.
They'll beat Alabama and they'll find a way to keep it close against East Texas A&M and Kent State the next 2 weeks.
Hey, don't worry. Hey, don't sleep on Kent Reed, Kent Wright, Kent State now.
Is that a Penn State saying?
That's an Ohio joke. That's an Ohio thing for you. There you go. Sorry to anybody.
Ohio State fans.
Cincinnati fans. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so as we continue on, couple of pointers that I wanted to hit on here. Again, we're going to make our official picks and predictions of what needs to happen, what could happen, what should happen type of thing. That's going to be at 3:30 as we wrap up today's show. But a couple of questions that I want to kind of throw out there for you, Christian, and for our listeners as well. It's finally here, first of all. Can we just take a moment to step back and take a deep breath in the craziness that has been the last couple of weeks for guys like you and me, for the fans of this team, the people of this town. I mean, there's been a lot going on. But it feels like we've talked about Auburn and Baylor for a long time. Ever since it got put on the schedule and people flipped the calendar from last year's football season to this year's football season for Auburn, which happened at the end of 2024 on the calendar.
We spent time diving into this game during the middle of SEC basketball play.
Yeah.
And then all through baseball season, all through the baseball playoffs, or the postseason,
through the
regionals, the super regionals, the College World Series, and all through the summer. Because this is the game that's bigger than you feel like you've had in any sort of recent history for Auburn.
And it's finally here. So let's rejoice and be excited that Auburn football is back. Auburn college football is back tonight, which is really exciting, right?
Semi-professional.
Semi-pro, yeah. But I'm curious on how you feel, Christian, on where this game in particular, because we've talked about the idea that if this Auburn-Baylor game was put at any time slot tomorrow, nobody would be talking about it other than us. Nobody other than Auburn-Baylor people would be talking about this game. But it seems like there's a pretty significant buzz and hype around this game because it's almost standalone on a Friday night. We know that Georgia Tech Colorado plays tonight, but for anybody that's an actual college football fan that wants to watch good college football, they're going to watch this game on Fox tonight and be listening on Wings 94.3.
Don't you dare make fun of my ACC runner-up college playoff contender.
Yeah, and according to Dion, you want to see him win, you want to see
him lose.
You just want to see him in general.
No, I have Georgia Tech. I have Georgia Tech making the college football playoff.
I know. I'm saying Dion had a quote today that He had a quote today that says, you want to see us win, you want to see us lose. Bottom line, you just want to see us. It's like, okay, bro. Let's look at the rating difference. Man, top rope. Never mind. We're not going down that hill.
No.
Auburn-Baylor's the game of the night. Okay, there's no arguing that. And we've talked about that if this game was played at any point tomorrow, 11 a.m., 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, midnight, doesn't matter, it would be lost in the shuffle, right? But where does this game rank for you of all the games this weekend? If we take off the orange and blue glasses for just a second, where do you rank this game in terms of entertainment value, importance, college football playoff implications, because a lot of people have talked about these two teams as being threats to make it to the college football playoff. Where do you put this game in the mix of all the other matchups this weekend on opening weekend?
T3.
Okay.
I think.
Still making good money in a golf tournament?
Very much. Oh, yeah. You made the cut. You're easily playing. You were honestly probably one of those guys that, again, with the Saturday start, you were probably there. Not on the leaderboard to start Sunday, but you shot that 8-under round in the morning, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's already in the locker room. He's already
Rory McIlroy.
But shot 8-under on Sunday, and all of a
making
sudden
making six figures?
Knows he's not going to win it.
Sure.
But again, no, it's a great point. I think if it was on Saturday, it would be a game that would kind of get overshadowed by a couple of these other games. And at first, when it got moved to Friday, we kind of complained about it just because it was like, come on, why are we the game? And then all of a sudden, it was like, okay, well, you now realize you're going to be one of the two games that people will be watching. Everybody will have their hand on their remote controller. And if you don't have the multicast, as soon as one goes to break, you're clicking that previous button and you're going back and forth between Fox and ESPN. And, yes, I have this tied for third. I have LSU and Clemson as the biggest game of the weekend.
That's what I've said, man.
I think it is the best game of the weekend, and I don't know if that's because it's the 6:30 game where you've heard a little bit more about it. I just don't think Texas and Ohio State have or need to live up to the hype because I don't think there's as much on the line for that game because neither coach is going anywhere. Both quarterbacks are still trying to find their footing. They have all of the hype in the world, but you look in 8 weeks and one of these teams will have a loss to the other who's going to still be in the top five, and okay, it does no harm. And now that the strength of record is a component in the college football playoff, whoever loses, even if it's Texas, they're going to get credit for going to Columbus, Ohio, and losing a 28-24 game or whatever the case may be. It's not going to penalize them whatsoever, and that's why I had Texas going 9-3 in the regular season, but still making it to the SEC championship. Because of a loss like this, it's not going to affect where they stand in the SEC. I still think this is going to be a very exciting game, and by no means is that me saying I'm not going to watch it, because it's going to be
right.
incredible. But you feel like there's so much at stake when it comes to LSU and Clemson. It's Brian Kelly wanting to get off to that hot start because he's 0-5 in season openers. It's Cade Klubnik, and arguably the best team in college football, trying to defend home turf. That's 1-2 for me. I think Alabama and Florida State are right there with Auburn and Baylor as well.
Okay.
Simply because I think there's a little bit more national media on it, and if Auburn was playing on Saturday, I would put that as fourth. But I think Auburn being moved up to Friday, now being that standalone game, has the same type of hype that Alabama and Florida State are now getting on the national scale of, okay, these are two teams trying to make their way back. Florida State, after having a really poor year, going 2-10, trying to rebound, trying to regroup. You have Kalen DeBoer in year two, who just missed out on the college football playoff. You have Ty Simpson. Both teams are trying to answer question marks. I have Auburn and Baylor right there at T3.
Yeah, and I think you make a bunch of good points. I'm with you. I told Lee Sterling at the start of the show, I think on Monday afternoon when we step in this studio, and again, we will have shows on Labor Day, no Max Roundtable with Doug Amos, but we will be on the air for On the Line, and The Drive will be on, so from 2 to 6, you'll have coverage on Labor Day here on ESPN 106.7. I think we'll be talking more about, other than Auburn-Baylor, of course, the other games in Week 1, we're talking Clemson-LSU. I truly believe that. For all the reasons you said, and I just think it's going to be a better game. And I fear that the Ohio State-Texas game, it's almost impossible for it to live up to the hype that it has. And I put Arch Manning in the same category. I've said that for a year, that it ain't no way he lives up to the expectations that have been put onto him. It's impossible to do so.
Unless it is a 56-55 game.
And if so, tip your cap and we'll eat it.
And I'll take my – yes, I will tip my cap and say, you know what, maybe Arch Manning is worth the hype. You know what, maybe Julian Sain did have a better fall camp than people realize. Maybe these two coordinators that are playing their first game in the shoe have figured it out. Man, maybe these are two of the very best coaches in college football. I still think that point stands, but everything else, you feel like there's no way – because we've talked ad nauseum about Auburn and Baylor. You feel like the other national media, again, has talked about this the same amount, if not more, and so you feel like there's no way that it can live up to any sort of expectation.
But just being completely honest with you, I feel like it's a manufactured hype because it's number one and number three. Most people think it should be number one and number two, and that's fine. It's a top five matchup, top three matchup, however you want to look at it. It just feels like a manufactured hype, Ohio State versus Texas, and how many times in recent memory, let's say the last decade, we don't have time to go through examples, but just kind of sift through your memory here for a second. These types of matchups that are not postseason games, how often do they actually live up to what people build them up to be? How often do these types of games and matchups with all the talent and all the hype, all the coverage, all the attention, how often do you walk out of that game and say, man, that was everything we wanted it to be. That was a legendary game.
Think about Texas-Michigan last year, this exact time.
Yeah.
Where it was one of the most hyped up games because Texas was going on the road. Their first game in the SEC in a new conference, you're going up to the big house and playing a game right at 11 o'clock. And it finished up and it was like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah. All right.
That game is over. But nobody sits here and talks about it. You talk about how often has he lived up to the expectations. You hate to make it sound like this, but the way that the college football format works, the way that the college football world works now of the college football playoff, if you're not in, you're out. How often does a game like this truly matter?
Yeah, not this one. Not this game. These two teams don't need the win to build their resume. They'll have a good enough resume based off their conference schedules. I like these games, and I think they're important for the sport, and they should happen. But from a...
college football needs to find a way to make this have more.
I agree.
And I don't know how you do that, because you're about to expand the playoff even more.
To make these games mean even less.
again, unless it's something that we've talked about where you go SEC Big Ten Challenge, and that's when the SEC goes to the 9-game schedule but still has to play the P4 opponents.
Well, I mean, and this game could matter. I mean, it could be a deciding factor of you being a seed line, but, like, you could take this game out, and both these teams are still making the playoff.
Correct.
Like, that's what we're talking about here. Compared to LSU Clemson, I know we got to get to break. Brian Kelly's job could be on the line in this game. If they don't win this game, LSU fans may check out, and they're like, all right, this guy sucks.
Which is a crazy thought.
It is wild, but that's where they are in Baton Rouge. You heard Chris Gordy talk about it yesterday. That's where they are in Baton Rouge. So I'm with you. I think LSU Clemson's the best game of the weekend. I think it will be the best game of the weekend. But Auburn Baylor's up there, too. We talk about that more as we go on, but we need to pay the bills, take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Hey, a reminder, if you are driving around, flipping around different stations and things, our buddies Jack Cutt and Uncle T-Bone are next door as we speak on Wings 94.3 for game day on Wings. It is a pregame show that will be on Saturdays moving forward. They go live 5 hours before kickoff for Auburn football on Wings 94.3, which is, of course, the home of Auburn football here in Auburn, Opelika. Jack and Uncle T-Bone go live 5 hours before kick. They do a two-hour show. They then hand it off to Andy Burcham and the guys on the Auburn Sports Network, which they'll do today live from Waco, Texas, coming up at 4 o'clock, kickoff at 7 tonight for Auburn versus Baylor on Wings 94.3. And so, a couple of minutes before we wrap up the hour, and Christian, we'll just quickly recap what happened last night around high school football. A lot of teams were in action last night across the state because of Auburn playing tonight. A lot of big games coming up tonight as well, but I don't have any recap. I don't have anything.
You play tonight. Right. And you actually bye week.
Yeah, we were off this week. Yeah, Auburn High did not play, man. It was they thought they were going to, and then they decided they didn't want to play, and so they just didn't.
Both teams. I did hear that Auburn had to drive up to Birmingham, but then shook hands and said, "Actually, good luck this year."
Yeah, I wish that was the case. That was tough. That was tough to watch last night. Auburn and Vestavia. It was rough, man. I mean, credit to Vestavia. They were ready to go, had a game plan, and executed it to perfection. Had just one turnover and just, I mean, did whatever they wanted to do on both sides of the football. It was 21-0 Vestavia in the first 5 minutes of the ball game, and it was over after that, man. So
strategy goes out the window. It just comes back to trying to get it all back at one time.
Lee Scott got a nice win.
I was about
to say,
here at home, it was a completely different story. It was round two of Lochapoca against Lee Scott Academy, and Lee Scott with a 9-play, 97-yard touchdown drive to ice it in the fourth quarter following a fourth-and-goal stop. Lee Scott wins it 31-21 in a really, really fun game in week two. The week before, region play starts.
There you go. So you guys have who to open up region play next week?
The Tigers of Childersburg.
Childersburg. Auburn is on the road at Opelika. We'll talk about that more next week. But hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We're making week one picks and talking more Auburn and Baylor here on ESPN 106.7. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy game day, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get you started here in hour number two here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin, Jacob Goins across from me in the other studio right now, making sure we keep game day on wings going through hour number two. But appreciate everybody for being here with us, whether that's on the phone lines, whether that's in the text box, or whether that's just driving around town and you have it on ESPN 106.7, you have it on ESPNAU.com, or you have it on that Radio Alabama app, man. We're appreciative for you spending your Friday afternoon here with us. It was a fantastic hour number one. We got to kick it off as we do every single Friday, talking with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, and the Locked On Bets podcast. He gave you his top picks. He told you where you need to go, ParamountSports.com, or you can get a free play on him. Also, he doubled down and said, I'll also give you Notre Dame and Miami in there as well. We got to talk a whole lot of Auburn-Baylor, not quite our prediction side of things, but a lot of comparisons. Man, we got to talk about the defense. We got to talk about a whole lot, and have already had a lot of interaction. Jacob made the crucial mistake of saying that Auburn played great defensively against Alabama, and thank you for lighting him up since he's not in here right now to defend himself. But here in hour number two, it's going to be an incredible show. This is what our free-for-all Fridays are going to look a lot like. Working our way through football season. If you've been a part of it, you know how it works. We start hour number two talking about week one picks around college football. We have 10 games every single week, and Jacob and I are going to keep our score throughout the entire year and try and just play a little competitive game. It's not about the spreads, not about covering, but we're picking the 10 best games of the week, and we're keeping our record throughout the entire college football season. And then at 3:30, we're diving in to Auburn and Baylor. We're giving our final thoughts. We're diving into our pick for that game and what Auburn needs to do to go into Waco, Texas, and turn it into Auburn, Alabama. Jacob Goins back here with us. I promise I didn't make fun of you whatsoever when you weren't able to say anything. But a fantastic hour in number one. If you missed any of it, you can check it out in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. And I was letting the people know kind of how Free For All Friday hour number two is going to work. The first 30 minutes, we give our picks around week one, or that week of college football. I told them we're doing something where the top 10 games, we're keeping our record throughout the entire college football season, seeing how good we can go. And then at 3:30, it flips over to Auburn and their opponent today, being Auburn and Baylor. So we get to be a part of that, and hope you want to be a part of it as well. The phone lines are open throughout all of hour number two at 334-321-1390. That'll connect you to the phone line to us. You can be a part of the show. You can be on the line. The text box always open as well. And man, that's been lighting up. I see your phone going crazy at 334-784-1067.
Yep, let's get started. We got a lot of games to get to and not a lot of time to do it. We start with the game tonight, not named Auburn and Baylor. And we've said it. I wish this game wasn't tonight, or I wish this was like the late night kick at like 10 o'clock out there in Boulder, Colorado. Georgia Tech and Colorado. It's the Yellow Jackets and the Buffs going at it across the country. What an exciting game this could be. I don't know how good the quality of football will be in this game, but it could be exciting just from the potential standpoint. Georgia Tech favored by 3.5, total 51.5. I assume you're going to pick Georgia Tech since you have them making the ACC championship game, Mr. Griffin.
I am. I am going Georgia Tech. For those that don't remember, Caden Salter just got the start, or was named the quarterback in Boulder, Colorado, the quarterback from Liberty, the transfer that Auburn was in there trying to get as well, but Deion was able to land him. He was named the starter over Juju Lewis, but I don't think that it's going to matter. I don't see that Colorado made a big-time improvement on the defensive side of the football, especially not running the football, and you bring guys like Jamal Haynes and Haynes King into Boulder, Colorado. I think they run all over the Colorado Buffaloes. You don't have Shador Sanders. You don't have Travis Hunter on both sides of the football. I think it's a very hyped up game simply because of the name Colorado. But as soon as you realize who's not there this year, I think people will tune out this game in the second half, and there will be a lot of eyes on Auburn and Baylor.
I just don't think Colorado has that many good players. I really don't. I'm with you. I don't think they have the talent to compete at the highest of levels time and time again. I think you're going to see Caden Salter running for his life. I think he's going to have to make a bunch of plays on his own, and I'm with you. I think Georgia Tech's going to run the football down their throat. I think Georgia Tech dominates in this game. Give me the Yellow Jackets, not just to win. Give me them to cover in this game tonight. That's on ESPN. The exact same time that Auburn and Baylor get started as well. So both of us have Georgia Tech going in this game. We're working in order on the time that they kick off, and these are just the 10 games that we felt were the biggest and most important on the schedule this weekend. We go to
Kennesaw State and Wake Forest.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No.
You don't think Robbie Ashford's going to get it done as only 17.5-point favorites against the Hooty Hoos?
There's a chance that they lose that game, okay? We go to a top five game in Columbus, Ohio. It's Texas at Ohio State. It's the Longhorns and the Buckeyes going at it at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on Fox. Did see something today, very cool thing that Fox is going to be doing with tomorrow being College Game Day on ESPN, Lee Corso's final game day appearance, his final headgear pick as well. Fox announced earlier today that they will be airing Lee Corso's final headgear pick in simulcast on Fox at the exact same time. So a pretty cool tip of the cap to Mr. Corso. I'm excited to see him pick Ohio State because there's talk about an ain't no way. He is picking Brutus the Buckeye. It's his favorite. Him and Big Al are the two. Yes. I mean, I think he's picked Brutus more than anybody. Him or Alabama, one of the two. He's going to pick Ohio State, but this game is on Fox for a big noon kickoff. It's the Longhorns and the Buckeyes, and I've made my pick very clear. I'm taking Ohio State in this game. I think Ohio State's team is more talented than Texas. I don't know if they're a better team than Texas, but I think in the season opener at home, 11 a.m., give me the Buckeyes at home in the shoe to take down the Texas Longhorns, and the Big Ten will point and laugh at the SEC once again.
I've had the simple way of thinking this entire offseason, and it was basically the exact same way, more of the fact of I'll trust the team at home in a really, really good matchup, especially when both quarterbacks have question marks on what they can and what they're wanting to do. But the more I dive into the Texas backfield, and I see Quintrevion Weisner, who made a very big impact last year for the Texas Longhorns, who could be the projected starter while they bring back C.J. Baxter, who got hurt last year. If Sarkisian, rather, will do what we frustratingly talked about with Texas last year of why are you making Quinn Ewers throw the ball 45 times a game? Make it easy. Let him turn around and hand the ball off and let the offensive line go to work. If Sarkisian will do that, I think Texas wins the football game. But until I see it, I can't convince myself otherwise. I think Texas will have to run for their life on the DB side of things, trying to guard all of Ohio State's wide receivers. It was Jeremiah Smith who did not have a big game against Texas last year, but they still found a way. Give me the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm taking the Buckeyes in this game as well. We move along to Syracuse and Tennessee, battle of the disgusting colored orange. Syracuse's orange is pretty good, but Tennessee's is bad.
Yeah, it's a little darker for Syracuse. I like it.
It's closer to Auburn's orange than Tennessee's, but two touchdowns here is what Tennessee is favored in this football game. And for me, when I looked at it initially, I looked at this and I said, that's a lot of points. That's a lot. I mean, that's a Syracuse team that won 10 games a year ago, if you count the bowl game win, and Fran Brown's a coach that's not going to be there very long because he's going to get snatched away by somebody. And it's Josh Heupel in Tennessee. Didn't they get embarrassed in the playoffs last year? Yes. But then you really look into these two teams for just a second. I think Tennessee has some talent. Are they college football playoff good? No. But they're top 25 good. And Syracuse is not. And while it may not be Nico Iamaleava throwing the football for Tennessee, it is Joey Aguilar, who can make some plays, who's got some of the best receivers. I think maybe the most underrated receiving room in the SEC, Mr. Christian Griffin. Give me Tennessee to win. And if you can get this spread at 13.5, give me Tennessee to cover. I don't like it at 14 just because of how it could be you know, 35-point performance for Tennessee, and Syracuse could score late to make it 35-21 or something stupid like that. But I like Tennessee to win this game outright because I think they're going to have more fans in Atlanta. Tennessee.
Oh, okay, my bad.
No, Tennessee to win. To win outright. Yeah, give me the Vols.
Okay, at first I thought you were saying, never mind, I see you. Okay.
Syracuse can't stop Tennessee, plain and simple.
I wish I felt a different way. The only thing that I feel differing to you is you could give me 3 touchdowns, and I'd still take Tennessee.
Really?
I think Joey Aguilar is going to be very, very solid. I think the way that Josh Heupel's offense works around, he doesn't have to be a star. You don't have Samson in your running back, which obviously was the reason they made the college football playoff last year. I think Tennessee leans on their defense a lot, which I think could be the best in the SEC and a top 5 defense in the entire country. I think this could be a lower scoring game, but I'd still take Tennessee 17.5, 18.5. Tennessee wins and Tennessee covers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just think Tennessee is a really talented team and maybe a middle-of-the-pack squad in the SEC, but Syracuse won't be able to keep up this year. Not this game against the Tennessee Volunteers. Again, we're making picks for week one of college football outside of Auburn and Baylor. If you have picks, shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. A game that you and I have both discussed is being under-discussed, and seems like Auburn fans are confident in old Gus Malzahn and the Noles down there in Tallahassee hosting a top 10 Alabama Crimson Tide squad. Your picks, sir. Alabama and Florida State, the Crimson Tide favored by a couple of scores in this game. On paper, Alabama's such a better team on talent-wise, but I don't know if the Tide fans trust Kalen DeBoer just yet, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I trust Kalen DeBoer just yet. 14.5.
I do.
You do?
I do. Maybe Alabama. Not to cover, but I trust Kalen DeBoer to get the job done. Bill O'Brien used Thomas Castellanos at the time, now Tommy Castellanos. We watched very early last year put up, it was some 11 or 12-minute first-quarter drive against Florida State because they just ran for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It looked like Army-Navy back in the day. I don't think you'll be able to do that if you're Florida State. If you can, you can get out by a touchdown. You can control the clock and make it to where every single possession is that much more valuable for Ty Simpson and the offense. I think I could get a little bit more behind it, and I know that weather is going to be a little bit of a factor as well, but I'm not there with Florida State right now. I'm not there with what they did in the transfer portal. I'm not there with what they did in the offensive line to be able to stop Alabama's defensive line. And I know even with the injuries, I don't think that it plays too big of a factor. I'll trust Alabama's defense to not give up 300 rushing yards in this game. Give me Alabama.
Do you remember when Alabama went on the road a couple of years ago, game 2 or 3 of the season, to the state of Florida?
Yeah, to the team that just beat Boise State.
Whose mascot are the Bulls, and their name is South Florida. Do you remember how gross that game was? Remember that Alabama had to fight, scratch, and claw their way out of that game? Turns out Nick Saban was a genius for what he was doing, but Alabama couldn't do hardly anything in that game, and they felt worse coming out of it after a win than maybe after a loss. I think that's similar here in this game. I think Alabama's going to win. They're going to have to earn it. And Florida State's going to give them everything they want. I think Florida State's going to make improvements this year. I think they finally have some Jimmys and Joes that can run with this Alabama team for a team that lost 4 games last year with more talent on the field than this year. I don't trust DeBoer season long in this race for Alabama. I'll pick them to win. Florida State plus 14 is the pick here. Give me Alabama by 10 or less.
Jacob Goins is saying that Keelon Russell is going to have to come in, and he's now going to be the named starter quarterback.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a second quarterback has to play in this game at some point for Alabama.
Because they can't move the football, or just because they need some sort of spark, or just because they have two that are playing?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. To answer all of those questions. So, give me Alabama to win, but give me Florida State to cover, especially if you can get 14.5 right now. Absolutely. Give me the Noles to cover.
I like it.
Alabama to win, though. You want to do one more, or you want to go? Let's do one more before we get to break. Let's make this one a quick one. Utah, UCLA. out west, Utah at UCLA at the Rose Bowl, and it is the debut on the West Coast of Nico Iamaliava. UCLA is an underdog here. One of only two Big Ten teams this weekend to be underdogs in opening weekend. Do you know who the other one is off the top of your head?
Ask the question again.
As you look it up.
No, I was trying to find what time the game was at.
Utah, UCLA, it's tonight at 10 o'clock. So if you stay up late, or no, it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Also, Washington and Colorado State are at the same time tomorrow night. So that's fascinating. UCLA is one of two Big Ten teams in opening weekend to be underdogs, this one at home against Utah. Can you name the other Big Ten team that is an underdog this opening weekend?
Ooh.
A lot of teams playing
probably
cupcakes.
Indiana over my Monarchs of Old Dominion. Mm,
that spread is kind of low. It's like 21.5, 23.5, something like that. But that's not quite. There's one more Big Ten team that's an underdog. I'll give you a hint. They're going on the road.
Ooh. Who is it? Hold on. They're playing a
Mensa-less
Tulane Green Wave team.
Yep. Auburn got blown out by this team in a bowl game a few years ago.
Oh, it's Northwestern.
There it is. Northwestern, an underdog on the road against Tulane. So Northwestern and UCLA, the only two Big Ten teams this weekend that are underdogs. Can UCLA pull off the upset with brand-new quarterback Nico Iamaliava against the Utah Utes?
Nope. Give me the Utes.
I like it. I have Utah, too. I promise we don't have the same picks all the way through, I don't think. You're right. We haven't. I just think UCLA is not great. I don't know. They don't have any players, man. Sorry. You're gonna see why Nico got kicked out of Tennessee to go to UCLA in a game like this.
And you're gonna see why Kyle Whittingham's a really, really good college football coach.
Correct. Both of those things are true.
Yes.
Both of those things are true. I have Utah beating UCLA as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 games to pick, plus a P4 team that's on upset alert this weekend. We talk about that right after this here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on making our week one picks here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Again, we're getting to Auburn and Baylor coming up in just a few minutes. Our final thoughts, predictions, and picks as well. We'll get to those in just a few moments, but we got to keep moving, Christian, here quickly as we continue picking the 10 best games in week one of college football this weekend. Let's get to Cal and Oregon State. And some people may say, oh, come on, guys. We're talking about California and Oregon State. But this is, it used to be a P4 game, and it's about to be a P4 game. The Pac-12's coming back. California's part of the ACC. The whole college football landscape is just whack right now. But California's in Corvallis, and the Beavers are 1.5-point favorites at Reser Stadium.
I don't know how. You could give me Oregon State 10, and I would take it. Because you know who's the guy taking snaps? The former Duke quarterback that as soon as the transfer portal opened, made the very first visit to Auburn University. Goes by the name of Malik Murphy. A name that, yes, you have not heard about. Started at Texas, transferred to Duke, and is now up at Oregon State, replacing DJ Uiagalelei, who just got cut by, was it the Chargers, I believe, for throwing the worst pick six I believe I have ever seen in a preseason game. Give me the Oregon State Beavers and give me them by a million.
You know, I had Oregon State too, but just for the sake of the show.
So give we can finally me, have one that's not the same.
Give me the Cal Golden Bears. If they can beat Auburn on the road, they can beat Oregon State on the road. Give me California.
They beat Auburn on the road. Never mind.
They beat Auburn on the road. You're right. You can end your sentence right there. They beat Auburn on the road. Give me the Golden Bears of California because that offense is putting up a million points. You want to know why? Just a little friendly reminder on this Friday. It's Brian Harsin as the offensive coordinator out in Berkeley.
gross.
Give me California to win against Oregon State. How dare you disrespect him. Virginia Tech and South Carolina. We're saving LSU Clemson for last, by the way. Virginia Tech, South Carolina, this game on Sunday afternoon. I'll say it. South Carolina by two touchdowns. South Carolina by two touchdowns. It won't be close. It may not even feel like it's as close. The score may be closer than it feels. Really cool moment for Shane Beamer, though, going up against Virginia Tech. He's talked a lot about it and really think that's a unique opportunity for him. Once he gets over the emotional wall of playing the team that his family's been tied to for so long, South Carolina's got to put a whooping on Virginia Tech in this game.
I think this could be closer than some people say. I think it's going to be a battle of the quarterbacks. I'm a big fan of Kyron Drones, but I'm a bigger fan of Lenora Sellers. That was a team that I was very, very high on all offseason long. Haven't really given them the love in any sort of playoff bracket that I was planning on making when I first was talking about this team. I think they make a little bit of a step back because they have to rely on Lenora Sellers too much, but he will be enough to carry them through a win in Atlanta.
Michael Vick ain't coming out of that locker room for Virginia Tech, man. Give me South Carolina. This spread has gone down. It's down to 7.5 now. Yeah. People putting money on the Hokies. I ain't buying. Give me South Carolina by 10-plus in this game on Sunday afternoon. That's the one of two and a doubleheader on Sunday, as you then get another top 10 matchup that ain't nobody talking about. Number 6, Notre Dame on the road at number 10, Miami. Notre Dame favored by 2.5. I wish I didn't have to pick this game because I just don't think it's going to go all that well for either team.
It's a meteor game?
Yeah, it is, because I don't believe in Miami or Carson Beck or Mario Cristobal, but Notre Dame's quarterback situation really scares me, and they lost a lot of dudes off that team that played in the national title game a year ago. I hate to say it, and I can't believe I'm going to do it. I'm picking Miami with the upset against Notre Dame. It's in Miami. It's at Hard Rock Stadium. But they are 2.5-point dogs. I'm taking Miami in this game. I think Carson Beck will actually look pretty good, to be honest with you. And they'll give the country false hope in this game. Give me Miami.
Weirdly enough, I think that Miami's quarterback situation with Carson Beck won't be the biggest storyline in this game. It'll be if Miami's defense can stop Jeremiah Love. If they can do that, which I have them winning anyways, Miami will win big. And this was my bold prediction. I gave it to everybody on Wednesday. I have Notre Dame going 9-3, missing the playoffs, and it's because of this week one loss right here.
Does Bill Belichick get his first win in the debut as the head coach of North Carolina when they host TCU in Chapel Hill on Labor Day night? TCU favored by 3.5 on the road, by the way.
No, Josh Hoover is going to show why he has one of the best arms in the country. He might throw for 450 yards.
Yeah, this is one where Bill Belichick may be humbled in this game and realize that coaching college is different than coaching pros. I'm taking TCU on the road as well. We talked a lot about LSU Clemson earlier in the show and why this game we both feel will be the best game of opening weekend. Who gets it done? Is it Garrett Nussmeier in LSU, or is it Kate Klubnik in the Clemson Tigers? Tiger v. Tiger, Death Valley v. Death Valley. Who gets it done Saturday night in Clemson, South Carolina?
I've swayed back and forth with this so many times, and I've ended up saying that LSU, I do think makes the college football playoff, but they ain't getting it done in week one. Clemson is bringing back 80% of its total production, the most of any team in the country. A lot of that on the offensive side of the football. I have Clemson winning my national championship, and I think it gets started right here. They win and they cover at home against what Lee Sterling called the LSU Kitty Cats.
I've been on Clemson all week, but I've bought back into LSU.
Not so fast.
They get it started right here. A run to the college football playoff begins in the second Death Valley. Give me LSU with the upset over Clemson tomorrow night. We'll talk about that more on Monday. We talk all things Auburn-Baylor coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and the time has come. It's Auburn and it's Baylor. We are less than 4 hours away from kickoff. 3.5 hours away from Auburn and Baylor starting the season in Waco, Texas, for week one of the college football season.
And yes, I just got butterflies too.
You want to know how I feel right now? How I feel about being on this show, in this town, on this day?
How do you feel?
This is me right now. This is me and how I feel. Are you ready for this? This is me on game day for Auburn and Baylor.
I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
That's me right now, baby, because it's game day. Auburn versus Baylor. Do you know who that is?
I didn't even really hear it because I didn't have my headphones on.
I'll play it again.
I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Yeah, did you hear that?
I don't know.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
That is Steve Ballmer. That is the Clippers owner when they were in the presser. Do you remember that years ago? He steps up there and he gets to the podium and he's got his notes. He goes, I brought these notes, but I'm just fired up to be here today. And he starts hooting and hollering as the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. That's how I feel on Auburn game day. That's how I feel with the season finally being here.
I don't know if I feel that way quite yet, but I'm 100% ready to have a Kirk Cousins hotkey for Monday afternoon.
You like that?
You like that? Yes.
Yeah, if you like that, absolutely.
Well, that'll be played to start the show on Monday, if.
Okay, we have talked so much.
Before we do that, you mentioned something during the break, a P4 team that's on upset alert.
Oh, yes,
that we'll
talk
about here for just a moment. I don't know if we have a combined one, but I'll go out on a limb right here. Toledo's making the college football playoff, and it starts with a win at Kroger Field.
Apparently, Wisconsin was the P4 team that was on upset watch. That was a 3-0 game in the third quarter last night. Wisconsin over Miami of Ohio. That's disgusting. My P4 team on upset watch is Mississippi State. They're going to Hattiesburg, and they're probably going to lose. So, may not be the best opening weekend for the Southeastern Conference. I mean, imagine if Kentucky loses this weekend to Toledo, Mississippi State loses this weekend to Southern Miss, Texas loses this weekend to Ohio State, Auburn loses this weekend to Baylor. If chaos just really ensues, Tennessee could lose to Syracuse. What happens if Alabama loses to Florida State? South Carolina loses to Virginia Tech. LSU loses to Clemson. Are any of those games, did I say anything in there that couldn't happen? There's ain't no way it'll happen? No. Imagine if chaos ensues and the SEC embarrasses itself in week one of the season.
Some of them are. Tucker Gleason is going to run through Zach Calzada.
I know people that had Toledo as their G5 team in the college football playoff, and even more people are jumping on it now since Boise State looked abysmal last night.
Tucker Gleason, 3,000 total yards last year, 31 total touchdowns, only 8 turnovers.
That'll do. Yeah, that'll do. Okay, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines quickly as we talk Auburn and Baylor. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Shane.
What's up, Shane?
So, man, a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Is this your new co-host?
It's Christian. He was with us all last year. He's been with us since January, I think. Yeah, full time. Yep.
I needed a little break, so I've been MIA until I turned it back on Monday and started listening to you guys again.
Okay, we appreciate you coming back, my man. What's on your mind?
Nothing, man. I just wanted to touch base and just let you know that I enjoy your show, Jacob, has since day one since you took over.
Well, I appreciate that, Shane.
Yep, appreciate it, man, and I'll look forward to listening to both of y'all for the rest of the season.
Yep, appreciate that. Yep, same to you, my friend. Glad to have you back with football season here, and we talk Auburn, and we talk Baylor. And it's a game that, we said it earlier, we've talked about this since January. Since January, we've talked about Auburn, and we've talked about Baylor. And my entire narrative, my entire message, Christian, has been if we've been talking about Baylor since January, I hope to God that Hugh Freeze and his staff have been talking about Baylor since January. Because frankly, there's no reason that they shouldn't. There's no reason that they should not have been talking about Baylor since January. Other than recruiting and the transfer portal and obviously focusing on your own team through spring practice, summer workouts, and fall ball, Baylor should be your number one focus. Not Oklahoma, not Texas A&M, not Georgia, not Alabama, not golf. Baylor should be your focus. And my narrative, all offseason long, has put all the pressure, all the focus, all of the attention on game one for Auburn against the Baylor Bears. And I hate to do it. I normally don't believe in this type of thing of one game defines the future of somebody, one game defines the future of a program. But with where Auburn football is under Hugh Freeze in this short amount of time, I'm putting all the pressure on this game. Everything for me revolves around the performance on the field tonight.
We've had so many conversations about where is this game a close comparison to? Is it the neutral site games against Washington or against Oregon? Maybe, but it's not on the road, and it's a very different mindset from a coaching standpoint and from a leapfrog type of game, if you will, into what could be for the upcoming season. Both of those games, or both of those teams rather, you knew there was success, and that week one game really kickstarted everything. This is the most important Auburn football game, a single game, since many have called 2013 against Washington State, if not even before that, possibly the 90s. And what a thought that is.
It's the first Friday night game for Auburn football since the comeback in Tuscaloosa in the Iron Bowl in 2010. And Auburn's going to try and have a magical performance just like that. But let's get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, guys. You talking to me, sir?
Yes, sir, we are. How are you, man? Sorry, we threw you right there on hot. My bad.
No problem. Hey, this is James. Enjoy the show.
Hey, appreciate
it,
James.
Question.
Yeah.
You know, going back when Freeze was the head coach at Ole Miss, and they had the, I guess you might want to say that two-year run where they had the good receivers and they were successful. One thing that I'm just curious about, do you think the level of talent that he had when Ole Miss was, you know, hitting on all eight cylinders, do you think the level of talent then is better than what Auburn has, or do you think Auburn has better talent than that team or those teams?
It's a really good question, James. I say the receiver spot's probably a wash. They may have even been better at Ole Miss because of DK Metcalf and those guys that were, and A.J. Brown, right, that are now studs in the NFL. Everywhere right else, this Auburn team's more talented than those Ole Miss teams.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I just, everybody's just really on Freeze about the play calling, you know, the whole nine yards. We've heard it for weeks. But, you know, I feel like, you know, people are making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, like you said, Auburn may lose tonight. But I guarantee you, Auburn has the talent. Freeze has recruited the talent. And, you know, it's just time for those players to step up and play to their ability. And I think good things will be happening for Auburn. But I just don't think Freeze can drop the candy in the sand again. I just really don't think so.
No, I don't. So, continue, sorry.
No, I see. I just don't think he can. I know. I don't, you know, he might have made some mistakes by sinking all his eggs in one basket with Peyton Thorne. But he has some talented receivers. They got at least 1 year under their belt. He's got, you know, Singleton. You know, he's got Jackson Arnold. A lot of people putting pressure on Jackson Arnold, you know. He didn't come out of high school as a five-star just because somebody said he was.
Yep.
I mean, he answered the bell. And last year at Oklahoma, it was kind of a tough scenario for him. You know, I really hope that, just like all Auburn fans, I hope he does well. But I think that a lot of people, there's panic only because it hasn't happened. And everybody's anticipating, you know, good things, but they're also expecting bad things. So, anyway, but I was just curious how you thought about the level of talent was in the Ole Miss and what Auburn has. But I appreciate your time. Enjoy the show.
Thanks so much, James. We appreciate the call, and it's a really, really good question. And somebody just texted in the text box as well at 334-784-1067. They said that Ole Miss receiving duo may be the best in the history of college football, and I think it's a pretty good argument. But other than that, Auburn has more talent all over the field than those Ole Miss teams from 2012 to 2016, where Hugh Freeze won 7 games, 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, and then 5 before everything went down, of course.
I think that might be one of the best teams skill position-wise that college football has ever seen.
Oh,
I mean,
no
you
doubt.
Mentioned those guys. You also had Laquon Treadwell in there.
Another NFL guy.
Evan Engram.
Another NFL guy.
You had Dante Moncrief, who was also in the NFL a while back.
Yeah.
That group right there was absolutely insane to where I could have been the quarterback.
With quarterbacks that were good, not great.
That's what I'm saying. I could have been the quarterback and got it out to them. The biggest thing that I think is a comparison to that is I think Auburn's defense is a hell of a lot better than those Ole Miss defenses
Leaps
were.
Leaps and bounds
Which
better.
Makes the offensive game planning should be that much easier. And James, going off of what your point playing devil's advocate just a little bit, I think that's why Hugh Freeze has been under a little bit more fire, especially this year, because of what the defense is going to do, what the defense is going to look like. You have to have some sort of success on the offensive side of the football because you know that your defense is not like those 2013, 2014, 2015 Ole Miss teams where you have to go out and score 42 points a game just to try and give yourself a victory. We talked a lot about it last year in a defense that I think this year is better than last year's defense. You gave up less than 30 points in every single game but one, two, including Texas A&M in overtime.
Games that you lost, you only gave up 30 points once.
You gave up 28 points one time, and that was against Georgia. If your offense scores a touchdown a quarter, and I know that's not exactly how that works to score 28 points, but just for the simplicity of the conversation, you score a touchdown a quarter, score two touchdowns a half, put you at 9, if not 10 wins last year. And I know that that's not directly comparable, but to go to show you what the lack of success the offensive side of the football had, you score 28 points, you win 8, 9, possibly 10 games. Imagine now with an even better defense and what should be a better offense, the expectation should be that much more.
Going up against a team tonight in Baylor, that is good. Yes, they're good. I have them winning the Big 12. I have them going to the college football playoff. But the same way we've talked about a 9-3 record in the SEC is not comparable to a 9-3 record in the Big 12, we're talking about the same thing, guys. We're talking about the same thing. The Big 12 champion doesn't belong in the same room as the SEC champion. The Big 12 champion may not even belong in the same room as the top three or four teams in the SEC. And Auburn has every chance to be that this year. And you have a chance to prove that tonight. So I go back to what I believe is the most important opener that Auburn football maybe has ever played in. And one of the biggest, most influential games for a head coach in the career of the sport. If Auburn goes out and performs well, executes, wins, and looks good doing it, sky's the limit in 2025. Hugh Freeze is beloved. This Auburn team has everything to play for. Then you start talking, okay, can you do it consistently? Can you do it against SEC teams? Can you keep doing it, right? Those are conversations for a later date. I'm not talking about Oklahoma and A&M. I'm not talking about Georgia. I'm not talking about Alabama. None of those games matter to me right now. What matters is this. This game tonight against Baylor. And for the first time in a long time, can Auburn do what Auburn has not done? Prepare, get up, and go beat a team that you're better than. Which sounds basic, and it sounds elementary, but Auburn hasn't been able to do it. And in the short career of this head coach at this university, it has yet to happen. You have a chance to do it tonight, which is why I put so much stock and so much pressure on this game. I hope that Hugh Freeze is nervous. I hope that he has felt the pressure. I hope he has put the time and energy and focus and preparation into this game that it deserves. Because if you don't, you're going to lose. And that's a long flight back from Waco, Texas. We make our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Baylor right after this. Don't go anywhere. We wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's been a lot of fun on the show today, man. We appreciate you all being with us. One segment, 1 hour, the entire show. Doesn't matter. We're just glad that you've been here. And you can tell, you can feel, you can hear that it is football season on the plains once again. And so we're excited to bring you coverage all season long, all year long. We're here every day, almost, Monday through Friday on ESPN 106.7, including Monday on Labor Day. We will be here and have shows On the Line and The Drive. We'll be on air 2 to 4, 4 to 6. No Max Roundtable. Doug will be back on Tuesday, but we will be on the air on Monday to talk about, recap, and hopefully celebrate.
Hopefully, happily.
Yeah, exactly.
On the airwaves Monday to 2 to 4.
Yeah, we'll be here to talk about Auburn-Baylor. We'll talk about all the big games from Week 1. We've made our picks on the show today. We had Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com on the show earlier today to start the program, and he may or may not have changed his mind on Auburn and Baylor. So go check that out and all the other stuff from today's show. Tons of phone calls, text messages, engagement as well. ESPNAU.com. The Drive is coming up. Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, believe the legend coach Don Dunn is out there as well. He's going to be on the air. And so be sure you listen to them for a little bit. Also over next door on Wings 94.3, that is where you can catch Auburn versus Baylor. Andy Burcham, Jason Campbell, all the guys are going to be on the air for the Tiger Tailgate Show starting in about 7 minutes on Wings 94.3. They'll take you right up to kickoff at 7 o'clock between the Tigers and the Bears. And Christian, the time has come, my friend. It's the season opener for Auburn, their first Friday game since the Iron Bowl in 2010. Will Auburn fans watch college football tomorrow happily or depressingly? It's a word.
I said grumpily earlier, so I don't know if that's any better.
It's our show. We can say what we want.
Oh, man.
As long as the FCC approves of it. It's like Auburn and Baylor tomorrow. What you
got? It's like a vacation, man. You feel like the anticipation is just half the journey, and it's finally here. And you're finally about to pack up, and the vacation, you're about to finally make the way home. And, man, I wish there was a camera I could look at right now to fire everybody up, man. Do what you're supposed to do on the football field, man. We've waited for this game. We've begged for this game. Hugh Freeze has done everything he's needed to do off the field and recruiting. The talent is not comparable when you're looking at the offensive line, when you're looking at the defensive line, when you're looking at the guys on the field, all 11 at the exact same time. Make the game as simple as you can, control the line of scrimmage, and turn Waco into Auburn, Alabama. Auburn 31, Baylor 23.
31-23 is Christian's pick for Auburn over Baylor. The Tigers are wearing their Stormtroopers tonight. White helmet, white jersey, white pants, and white face mask as well. Going up against the Baylor Bears and the gold chrome helmets with the dark charcoal gray near black jerseys. The uniform matchup is going to be insane. I've seen so many people for Auburn traveling out to Waco. There are going to be 10, 15,000 people. Daryl Dappert's tweeted something. He's walking through the downtown area of Waco. He said Auburn fans are everywhere. They're everywhere.
Turn it into home, baby.
Tiger fans will be there. Auburn will be there. It's just whether they show up or not. And in sports, you know that those are two different things. This game's going to be weird. It's going to be wacky. But I'm buying in. I'm buying in on the talent over everything else. I'm not buying in on Hugh Freeze yet. I'm not buying in on his coaching staff yet. But I'm going to buy in on talent alone. We'll win this football game for Auburn. One way or the other, I have 29-25. Auburn beats Baylor in Waco, Texas.
It's here, baby.
It's here. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy the weekend. College football, it's back, baby. We talk about all of this on Monday's show. We're back for Labor Day. 2 to 4, The Drive will be here as well. They're coming up next. And then Auburn football against Baylor, the radio broadcast on the Auburn Sports Network, Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. We're back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.